Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, and our Lord is here speaking to his followers. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About 50 miles south of here is a town called Albert Lea. And about 10 years ago in Albert Lea, on Christmas Eve night, a gentleman came out to get into his Honda, his car, and looked into the back seat and realized that all the Christmas presents that he had bought for family members had been stolen, and checked the trunk and the same problem. And so the story went out on the news that night that all these gifts had been taken away. They would never reach their recipients. Turned out the next day somebody up in the Twin Cities came forward to the police department and admitted that they had accidentally taken the wrong car. Somehow their key, a similar car, they had come out of another house on the same block that night, it was dark at night, and had apparently their key worked in the wrong car, and they drove it to the Twin Cities. So the gifts did finally make it to the right place. When our Lord Jesus Christ came at Christmas time, and we celebrate his incarnation, that the Son of God took on human flesh to save us, and then through the course of this year, since Christmas, we've been looking at the life of Christ and finally his, not only his death, but glorious resurrection and ascension into heaven. All of the presents that he came to purchase for us through this great work would never have made it to us, would never have been brought to the recipients if it were not for Pentecost. Pentecost, in that sense, gives value to both Christmas and Easter. The presence that the Son of God came to win just for you personally from heaven would never be known by you, would never be received by you, were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus instructs the members of his church that he must send this helper, this Holy Spirit, into the world in order for us to receive these gifts. And we desperately need his work. We need his work because we would not know God at all apart from him. Think of all the different ways that people, human beings, have come up with to try to figure out who God is, to try to in some way reach God and establish some kind of connection with God and some peace with God. The more I study different ancient religions and even modern day present religions, it's amazing all the different ways people have come up with. Just groping in the dark to try to figure out who is God. How can I connect to God? Some of them in ancient times involved even taking animals and killing them and cutting them open and spreading the organs out on the ground to try to decipher the future and what God's intent was. Not too many years ago, down in the Andes Mountains of Peru, they found a mummified young girl about 13 years old, who had been placed up there hundreds of years ago, frozen in the top of a mountain. And the idea was that the tribe somehow was trying to offer her as a peace offering to God because they knew there's something wrong between them and God, trying to establish some kind of knowledge of God and peace with God through this poor girl's body, now frozen in time. The first hymn in our hymn book has a line in it that always says it so well about why we need the work of the Holy Spirit. All our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded. It's like when we are born into this world, it's as if someone put a black gunny sack bag over our heads and tied a string around our neck. And we're just groping through life trying to figure out God, trying to find God, and trying to figure out exactly who he is, what he thinks of us. We sense there's something wrong. And people have come up with a variety of different options on that. So Jesus not only knows that we need someone to help us and to show us and to teach us the truth of who God is, to remove the gunny sack off our head, but he also knows how desperately we need peace. You know, if you think of the work of the devil, starting back in the Garden of Eden, the whole of his work can be summarized in this: disrupting peace, to destroy peace. If you look at the stories that follow right after that incident in the Garden of Eden, what do we see? Hatred between brothers, jealousy and strife and murder. As you go on through the scriptures, all the way through time and reaching right down to us today. If you think of the work of the devil, it's to disrupt our lives. It's to cause hatred and animosity, racism, divorce, abuse, all these different things. And you can summarize them into one big package if you want, and that is to disrupt peace, to take away peace. But more than that, not just to cause dissension and discord and all of that between people, but especially between us and God. As soon as that fall into sin took place, we see it in Adam and Eve right away. They're terrified of God. They go and run into the bushes to hide. As he's walking through the garden, they want nothing to do with him. They don't want to face him at all. They're aware of their guilt. And isn't that often the way we are too? When we're aware of our sins and our guilt, it's like the last thing we want to do is have to have God confront us, to have him come and address us. That's often terrifying. People run away from the concept of God. So Satan's great work of causing the disturbance of peace can be seen in no better way than right inside of my conscience. When I know my guilt and my sin, King David said at the point of recognizing his sin when he fell into the sin with Bathsheba, he says to God, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me." I've had people come in to confess sins to me, and a few of them have said once in a while that it's almost like God's hand is pushing on your chest. It's almost like the pressure of his law and the fear of being condemned by him and what's going to happen is actually imprinting itself and pressuring you onto your chest. So our Lord Jesus knows that you and I need peace. We need peace brought to us from heaven, not only to remove the gunny sack off of our head to know who God is, but his helper has to come now to show us true peace, especially peace between us and God. And you can see that comfort of peace once we see the resurrected Christ show up likewise in the disciples. Isn't it interesting that they had all this fear about being connected to Christ before his death and had all of this, if you will, lack of peace? And suddenly, once Christ, the resurrected Christ, shows himself to them, they go off to face martyrdom and death, nearly every one of them, many of them boldly, almost happy and proud to do it. Where does that kind of peace come from? Where does the kind of peace come from that you can look at your grave and have no problem with it? It comes from the presence that Christ won for you at Christmas and Easter. And the fact that the Holy Spirit now, through word and sacrament, distributes to us that wonderful peace, peace between us and God. The fact that the Son of God gave his life, shed his holy blood so that every sin, everything that would make you feel disturbed about being in God's presence would be wiped away and taken away. It's interesting how beautifully Jesus describes the real work of this Holy Spirit, a helper to help us, our counselor, our comforter, and the one who brings peace. If you think of all the places where God in this world tells you to go find him, not in the dead animals or in a mummified girl on top of a mountain, but if you look at the places where Christ teaches us to find God and where God finds you, they're all surrounded and encased with peace. Baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that gentle water that washes us clean of our sin, the preaching of God's holy word with the intent of distributing to us what Christ has done on the cross, when the pastor stands and absolves you on behalf of Christ and tells you your sins are forgiven, when you go to take the Lord's Supper and place that body and blood of Christ in your mouth, it's to let you know there's peace between you and God. That's what the whole thing is about. That's what the entire Christian faith is about, to establish once again this beautiful, lasting peace between you and God. Our souls have been made to be eternal. They are eternal. And in this life, they're kind of like little birds that fly around from different branches and different rooftops of buildings, looking for places where we can find some lasting satisfaction and peace, but they'll never find it in the junk of this world and all the stuff of this world. The only place where we can find true, lasting, eternal peace is in the nest of Christ and His Word and sacraments. And this is what the Holy Spirit has come to bring us. So as we look forward to Pentecost with Christmas and Easter in our rearview mirror, isn't it wonderful that our Lord Jesus, who bought the greatest heavenly future presents we could ever have, has also figured out a way to get those to us, the recipients, by the work of His Holy Spirit? God be praised for His glad tidings. Amen.